This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. If you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Man, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Coming up this hour, the good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll also talk about the Super Bowl matchup between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the importance of this game in terms of the sort of dynamic between the two quarterbacks. Jason Cole will also join us. We'll get his thoughts on the games that were, as I said, last hour. A lot of today is going to be review. There'll be plenty of times to preview. This is one of the things that this league does. It builds up over 2 weeks. I used to like the when we've had a few times in the history of the sport where the NFL would have 1 week in between the conference games and the championship. I didn't think we did it in 2002 for 9/11, and I think we did it one other time before. But I like the 2 weeks. I think it's necessary. I think when you have the build up to the game, the importance of getting all for every player, everything under control, family, friends, who's going, who's not going, organizing the travel schedule. It's obviously completely different this year. The Chiefs will not get to Tampa until two days before the game. So it's no longer the big, huge week of celebration that is the NFL and whatever city they're taking the Super Bowl. All of that is kind of gone this year, but it's still cool to have that level of hype, right? Just sort of let it. We get to a point where we're really excited about a matchup, then it dies down because we've overanalyzed it, and then the last few days leading up to the game, we ramp it back up again. But this game, I mean, you just think about all the different storylines, especially with Brady, especially with Mahomes, about where his legacy is heading. I mean, we point to the fact that no one is going to go to 10 Super Bowls. Again, there's this feeling like, well, let's not do that quite yet because we don't know what Mahomes' career is going to take. But even if Mahomes were to get to 6, it would be an amazing career. Heck, if he gets to 5, it would be an unbelievable, extraordinary career in terms of, but it's not going to be 10. And 10 with Tom Brady is something that even if you've spent a majority of the past two decades rooting against this guy, you do have to pull yourself back and go, man, it's unbelievable. It's really amazing. All right, we'll have the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up, and then we'll also talk about what was on yesterday in the AFC and NFC Championship games as we roll along with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. Championship Monday. A lot of good, a lot of bad, a lot of dumb. Let's get to the good of the day, Ron Culver.
All right, I don't know if this is really good, or maybe it's just good dumb. I'm not really sure. But there's an Oklahoma lawmaker who filed a bill this weekend or this week and wants to create Bigfoot hunting season.
Bigfoot hunting season?
Yeah. Bigfoot hunting season. So maybe
you have to establish that there's a Bigfoot.
Maybe. But I think that by doing this, you might get to the bottom of whether or not a Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Yeti, if they do exist.
Yeah, you'd have to figure that out first before you have Bigfoot hunting season.
I mean, this is more borderline than dumb. Now, he says, you know, he doesn't want to kill Bigfoot. It's, you know, to capture.
Oh, okay, because you got to study him.
You got to study him.
Yeah, talk to him, get his motivations.
Yeah, find out his name is Gary.
Right, exactly. Has this got a lot of legs in the Oklahoma State
Assembly? I don't think so, but
he's got a lot of backing.
And there's a, I guess, the town of Hanobia? I don't know how to say this. It's in southeast Oklahoma. They do have a Bigfoot festival every October.
Gotcha.
So he wants to kind of combine it with that and say, you know, we got the Bigfoot festival. Let's go out and do a hunt and Bigfoot.
All right. I like that.
Then he brings, you know, the other thing too is you got to get a special license for it. You can charge whatever you want.
Yeah.
Because I'm certain you're going to find people who want to go hunting Bigfoot.
When I was in elementary school, I was always fascinated with, like, books about the Bermuda Triangle and Loch Ness Monster.
Did you think there were going to be much bigger deals?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. When I was, like, I was kind of fascinated with all that kind of, that extra level stuff, right? Bigfoot, you know, all that kind of stuff. I was kind of into that. So I'm, you know, here I am, much older, still waiting. So yeah. if there's someone that can help me out with my childhood dream of discovering that there really was a Bigfoot, that'd be great.
I saw the other day that their idea of Nessie, Loch Ness,
right,
was that it's just a trapped prehistoric turtle.
Oh wow,
or something like that.
Yeah. I was very disappointed when I found out that famous photo was fake.
Yeah.
Because when I was a kid, I thought it was real, right? I thought, hey, that's there he is.
Why wouldn't it be real?
It's the monster right there. Why wouldn't it be real? I was a naive, gullible child. You show me a picture of something, I don't understand that things could be fake. I think that's a real Loch Ness monster. I was so disappointed.
I know. I'm right there with you.
Right? I was all enjoying that stuff. All right, what's the bad of the day?
You knew it was bound to happen sooner or later, but LeVar Ball is starting to beef with Hornets head coach James Borrego.
Of course. You're right. Tick, tick, tick. Set your watch by it.
So basically what has happened is LaMelo has been coming off the bench because he has not been playing well.
Right.
So this is from Borrego. He said, if you're turning the ball over 5 times in 16 minutes, that ain't going to cut it for me. So he had a stretch where he played extremely well. We need to find that again. He's got to get better. Bottom line, he's engaged. He wants to get better. He's capable of handling it. To which, of course, LeVar goes, my thing is, he ain't happy with that. He's been a shooter all his life. He ain't a role player.
What these guys must deal with behind the scenes, like the non-famous LeVar Balls,
do you think
must drive these guys crazy?
Do you think Lonzo is sitting back going, oh, thank God.
I know, right? Leave me alone. Pelicans aren't very good right now.
Yeah,
right?
No one's talking about us.
Uh-uh.
Everyone knows. You know, my dad is fine that I'm not even the superstar of the team. We know it's Zion.
Right, exactly.
And so I'm not even going to take it over.
That's right.
I'll just be this guy in the background. So, but yeah, it's not surprising. It's not a surprising bet at all. You knew it was coming.
Yeah, it was only a matter of time. I thought those guys were starting to like get rid of dad, trying to push dad away a little bit.
Yeah.
Doing kind of like a little Tiger Woods. It was like, Earl, slow down.
They might be pushing away dad, but you know what? He did this with TMZ Sports. He did a Zoom call with TMZ Sports. You know TMZ has that number on the ready saying, it's kind of slow.
You know, what's amazing?
Slow. Let's see what Lamar thinks.
I'd love to know the media metrics for LeVar Ball stories. Like for TMZ or anybody else that puts a lot of time and effort into him. Like, does it draw an audience? Does it draw clicks? Because it probably does, because there's just so much meat there that you could dissect it. And they just keep giving him a platform all the time. Keep talking about your kids. Yeah. Complain about this. Complain about that. Here you go. So, yeah, it's just the metrics must be still decent business to still find a LeVar Ball in your mix. I mean, what's the dumb of the day?
TikTok has these cooking videos that have been going around.
Yeah, I heard about these. And now, I don't have TikTok anymore because it's just too much dancing. But
I don't have TikTok. Never had it. I don't even think all my son does now is he watches TikTok videos. He used to be wanting to make TikTok videos, and he was doing an okay thing, and he was having fun with it. Now he just kicks back and watches.
Yeah, my daughter does the same thing.
So, but there's these cooking things that are going around. They seem to be the rage right now, where everyone's showing, I guess, what, maybe life hack food tips or something.
Right.
And so I stumbled across this one. It's a SpaghettiO pie.
Now, I'm already out because I don't like SpaghettiOs.
Yeah. So picture, if you will. I mean, I might have to send you this video. You might throw up, though.
I really don't like SpaghettiOs.
So she takes a pie plate, and she has pie crust in there. She empties a whole can of SpaghettiO with meatballs. Then she adds some milk to it, way too much milk. She adds she ends up using about half a jar of garlic salt on this whole thing.
Well, you're going to need flavor because SpaghettiOs don't really have a good flavor.
So she does all that. Then she adds more SpaghettiOs on top of the mixture that she already made. And then she has this bread, like just white bread with just butter on it that she pours way too much garlic salt on that as well. And that's her pie. And she makes a pie out of it.
Ugh.
And that stumbled down a rabbit hole that showed me other food videos. And there are just some sick people out there.
There are. And I think that's the purpose for these TikTok videos, yeah, is to make disgusting things.
Like, I looked at it. She seemed excited about the way it came out. And I was like, there's no way you're eating this, right?
No.
You can't.
SpaghettiOs are terrible.
They are.
I never liked them. Even as a kid, I never liked them. I just thought it was weird. It had a weird tomato taste.
And it wasn't. Well, it's not sauce.
Soggy. And
I don't know what that is.
Like, pasta's not supposed to be soggy.
No.
It's supposed to be al dente the tooth.
All right, you know what?
It's supposed to be soft and mushy.
I have no problems with this. I have gotten down on these a couple times, but the Chef Boyardee beef raviolis, I will do from time to time.
I'll eat those.
Now, how come they get their pasta just a little bit right and where SpaghettiOs does it?
Yeah, SpaghettiOs are all mushy and gross, and the at least the ravioli, beef ravioli, is a little bit of bite to it.
I'll never forget. I remember I was working. I came home from lunch, or I came home for lunch, and the only thing, this is when I was, you know, obviously living with my parents, and the only thing that was in the house was a can of SpaghettiOs, because I think SpaghettiOs are really good for toddlers. I think that's about it.
I think that's it.
They're not
ready to kill you when they give them the food and they go, this is disgusting. I'm going to starve to death.
I was hungry. It was the only thing that I could find to eat quickly because I was lazy and didn't feel like making a sandwich or something like that. So I just threw in a jar of can of SpaghettiOs, heated it up, ate it. On my way back to work, I threw up. I got like that little burp, that indigestion. Yeah. I'm like, this is not ending well. I had to pull over real quick, open my car door, and just threw it all up. And I was like, yeah, the only saving grace about it, I was able to tell my boss, like, listen, this is what happened. He's like, take the rest of the day. I'm like, thank you.
I got you. All right. That's the good, the bad, the dumb. We got Jason Cole coming up later in this hour to talk AFC and NFC championship games, looking ahead to Super Bowl 55 and some of the things that went down, especially with the Packers and how they really – I don't want to take anything away from the Buccaneers, but there was a lot of real questionable play on the Packers' side of the ball yesterday, and the Chiefs just continue to dominate. More on that as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us as we continue along with Wake Up Call. Your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking. Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate the wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Michael on Twitter reminding me that because of Desert Storm, Giants Bills Super Bowl 25 only had a week of separation. Yeah, it's usually done when there's some sort of big tragic event that kind of halts play or disrupts something. And I think with they shortened that week in that year, and then of course 9/11 canceled the weekend, so they just cut the hype time down to 1 week instead of two. But I think it's the only two times that has happened. But I like the 2 weeks. I like the 2 week buffer. I know it's overhype. We break down every story. You get sick and tired of the same things over and over again. Look, I'm on the record by saying I don't watch pregame shows. I don't watch Super Bowl pregame shows. I really don't watch regular pregame shows. I kind of know what I know. And I just tell me when kickoff is. I don't need the over explanation of what may happen. So I don't really watch a lot of that stuff. But you get to a point where the hype exhausts you. You've told me every story. You've told me every sob story about somebody's struggle to get to the league or something, whatever. You've done it all. And so I don't necessarily need it. But the 2 week prep time for the game, I'm okay with that. I can stay away enough and to build up the hype. So I know we've only done it a couple of times in this league in the 55 years, but I'm telling you right now, I mean, if you're on that point, if you're any of you out there are on that point of sick of the Brady story, it's going to be driven down your throat, and rightfully so. I mean, this is 10 Super Bowls, for crying out loud. Look, I mean, some of us were molded into the idea like four was like maybe the maximum you could go, that like four was incredible, right? But 10 is just mind-boggling. It is mind-boggling. And I know people will break down the Brady-Belichick divorce and who won and all. I get it. But I still contend that it is unfair on the Belichick side than it is on the Brady side. This is not They're not playing with the same deck of cards when it comes to who won and who lost. And I don't even think it should be looked at that way, really, to be honest with you. I think for what Brady was able to do was he was able to leave and go to a really good team, a better team that had more pieces than the team he was leaving. Think about that for a second. A team that had just gone to the Super Bowl in 2018 into 2019, he was going to a team that was built better and had better weapons than the team he was leaving that lost to Tennessee in the playoffs. And he had an opportunity to really read all of the landscape of the league to determine where he could go, because not every team would want him. And of those teams, which one was the better place for him to win a Super Bowl? On the flip side, you're asking Bill Belichick to remove one of the greatest, if not the greatest, quarterback who has ever played the game off your roster and just pretend like never happened. Now, who's going to get the better edge of that deal? Who's going to get the better opportunity to do better, right? The guy that is figuring out which team has the best chance of going to a Super Bowl, or a team that just needs a quarterback because, my God, they are loaded with a whole bunch of other good things. Or the coach that has been told, take the greatest of all time, remove him, now pretend like it never happened and go win a Super Bowl again. Right? It's going to take Belichick some time. It's going to take Belichick a lot of time. Right? I mean, I know that the immediate reaction, we black and white so much, and it drives me crazy sometimes because a lot of life is in the gray, right? And we don't do that in politics anymore. We don't do it in sports anymore. One team, one guy has success, the other guy must be a failure. Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. My God, he's going to his 10th Super Bowl, and he took a Tampa Bay team that hasn't won anything since 2002, hasn't won a playoff game since 2002, hadn't been in a playoff game since 2007, and he's got them to the Super Bowl. That must mean Belichick is less than. It's not. It's not how it works. The two created a magical, memorable dynasty that will forever be entrenched in the history of this league. You will never see it again. That kind of success. We say it over and over again, and it's true. Tell your kids, you're never going to see it again. Not from Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, not from anybody. It doesn't work that way. But they did it. And Belichick will figure it out. He will figure out his team. But I can't guarantee that he'll be back in a Super Bowl. I can't guarantee he'll win another one. But I trust him enough as a coach to figure it out, to be in the running for them. I just don't know how long it's going to take. But when you take a star player like that at the quarterback position, the most important position in sports, and just remove him, what kind of Hall of Famer is Tom Brady if he's just replaceable? Right? If you could just grab a surgically repaired Cam Newton and they go to and they win 14 games and win the Super Bowl, then what did you have before? Just a placeholder? Instead of a guy that was so clutch, was so brilliant at times, right? Was so, so you couldn't figure out how to beat him. You did everything you can and you still couldn't beat him. That's the dynamic here. You're going to get a lot of that in the next 2 weeks. Who won this divorce? There isn't a divorce. He left. He just left to try to do something else. But remember, he didn't get traded to Tampa Bay. I mean, Joe Montana got traded to Kansas City. He didn't get traded to Tampa Bay. The Patriots did not destine him for, you know, purgatory. They didn't send him to a lousy team. They didn't trade him to a team that is, you know, new head coach, nobody on the roster. They didn't do that. He got to examine every single option and pick the best option, because he knew he'd be wanted by any team that needed a quarterback, and then he could really dictate the terms. He could negotiate the right deal to make sure that it was team-friendly, to make sure he could get on that team. And now he's got that team in the Super Bowl. And it's a great accomplishment. Don't get me wrong. It's a great accomplishment. But many of us said, right? I mean, many of us said over and over again, leading into these playoffs, despite the fact that they were a 5 seed, that's a Super Bowl caliber team. All right? We didn't know if they'd get by the Saints. We didn't know if they'd get by the Packers. But those were both winnable games. That wasn't a shock yesterday. It wasn't an upset that you think about when you see top seeds lose in the playoffs. They went up against a very, very good football team that went 11-5, separated by a handful of games between the team that they beat. But on the flip side, you're going to get Mahomes. You're going to get a little Mahomes fatigue. This is his second time in the Super Bowl. Third year of excellence and dominance. I mean, the one game they didn't win in this three-year stretch of greatness for Patrick Mahomes is the AFC title game against the Patriots, and they should have won that game. So you're going to get a little bit of this old versus young, right? It might get old after a while. But in terms of, like, matchups, it's probably the best matchup for those kind of storylines. It's whether or not you guys care about those kind of storylines. I was kind of having a conversation with a friend of mine on Facebook because, there was a lot of immediate, this is what the NFL wanted. Look, they got Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Do we really think the NFL wants Brady in the Super Bowl? Is that what we're doing? Like, even if they could, is he on their favorable player list? Remember, this guy took him to court, right? Like, they accused him of cheating by deflating a football. Remember, the NFL didn't say, oh, there's nothing to see here. They not only said there is something to see here, and it's worth a 4-game suspension. And he took him to court over and over again.
Yep. And almost I'm one step away from the Supreme Court.
Right. Exactly. He dragged that league kicking and screaming to the court system over that suspension. And then finally said, fine, I'll sit out. Fine. Whatever. They were also part of Spygate. He may not have orchestrated that. But he benefited from it. The league knows this guy. People have fatigue. People are tired. He's a great story, but most of Americans go, man, again? This is the fourth year in the last five that he has been in the Super Bowl. Do you think the NFL couldn't get by if Aaron Rodgers had gone to the Super Bowl? For crying out loud. This was the argument I was trying to make to my friend yesterday on Facebook. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers didn't beat a Brad Johnson, Trent Dilfer type of team. They beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. The Super Bowl would be just fine if Aaron Rodgers and the Packers had gone. The Super Bowl would be just fine if you had the two top seeds from the conference duking it out.
Yeah, we might hate State Farm.
Right, exactly. State Farm might exactly really be more prevalent in our lives. But don't think for a second that this game was orchestrated or the league was really pushing it. Come on, that's nonsense. They don't need this. It's one of the biggest sporting events on the planet. When we rank ratings for the Super Bowl, they are really close. I mean, we're talking 9 figures for an audience here. I mean, that's crazy, right? The ratings are going to be very good. It's going to be one of the most watched shows of 2021. It always is. It's the only time that we pause as a country to watch a sporting event together, even people who don't like sports. There's no sweating in the NFL office that they have to make sure Mahomes and Brady get to the Super Bowl. This is nonsense. It would have been just fine. And to be honest with you, they would have been fine if the Bills had gone there too. And I know a lot of the country, a lot of the people in America aren't really familiar with Josh Allen and the Bills. If you live in Seattle, it's probably not as easy to cover them or talk about them on a daily basis.
Well, we could say the worst matchup as far as would it have been Packers-Bills? Or would it have been Buccaneers Bills?
It could have been Packers Bills. It could have been Buccaneers Bills. Yeah, Buccaneers Bills maybe.
Because they're both the same. Because I think everyone, if you're a football
fan, it's definitely the Bills.
Yeah, you wanted to see Mahomes.
Right, Mahomes is the new star of the league.
He's the new face of the NFL.
Right, but Rodgers or Brady playing up against him. I mean, come on. I mean, there's no difference. It doesn't matter. What happened in that game at the end was there was a blatant PI. It was called. It had not been called throughout the game, but it still, at that moment, unfortunately, needed to be called. I like Dan Wetzel's tweet yesterday. Late is not a thing. It does not matter if the call is late. The call is the call.
Yeah.
Late is an irrelevant term. You only just describe it based on time. It's not on a level of importance. When you have a late call, we sort of make it, we feel like there's some, it's ominous. It's a late flag. Something fishy is going on. No, it's late. It's late because the guy coming in was late. That's it.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's talk some football. AFC and NFC Championship games and Super Bowl 55 coming up. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Jason Cole joining us, NFL analyst, also author of Elway, A Relentless Life, which is cool that we have him on today because today is the anniversary of John Elway in Super Bowl 21 against the Giants. How are you, Jason?
I'm fantastic. What's going on, guys?
Thank you. All right, so describing, if you were to describe, tell somebody who did not watch it, the NFC Championship game, how much of your conversation will be on what the Packers did and did not do rather than what Tom Brady and the Buccaneers did do?
I think it's about 75-80% about how the Packers did not seem prepared for the first half of this game, were not prepared for critical situations. And put themselves in a hole that they couldn't overcome. I put a lot of this on the Packers. I mean, look, the Buccaneers played well. They did some effective things. They rushed the passer. They made things uncomfortable for Rodgers in the first half or whenever he tried to set up in the pocket and let a play develop. So they took some things away. Give them a lot of credit. Brady hit some plays. He obviously made some big mistakes, too, in the second half that the Packers should have been able to capitalize. But I'm just stunned by the combination of LaFleur not being ready for that pass rush and Mike Pettine not being ready for an end-of-half situation, right, which you can anticipate.
From the point of the field goal decision, it can go both ways in terms of how the thought process goes, but it should lean towards you've got an MVP, you're aggressive on fourth downs, go for it. What did you make of that decision?
I don't even know if it's about the MVP or you want to be aggressive. It goes to you have to extend the game first before you can win the game, right?
Right.
You're playing as if you're going to win the game somehow, which if you're down 9 points, I sort of understand. When you're down 8, you just got to get in the first time, right? Because there's also no guarantee that you're going to make the 2-point conversion.
Right.
So you got to do as many things as you can to get the touchdown first before you worry about, oh, well, we can win the game if we get the ball back. I mean, like you don't do that. You go for that on fourth down, and then you're trying to get the ball back again to try and extend the game.
And there's also a point where what surprised me afterwards was Aaron Rodgers had no idea that they would have been, that the thought process was to kick on that. Shouldn't they have at least been in some sort of connection on what exactly that drive was going to be?
Well, I mean, look, in the moment, I think in that moment in time, you're just focused on what is the next play, right? You're not sitting there, you know, going through, here's the strategic play. That's for somebody else to, figure out what is the strategic play on. Are you trying to extend the game? Are you trying to win the game? That's what the coach is for, right? The player is just sitting here going, like, I got a first down play, I got a second down play, I got a third down play, you know, each time I'm trying to figure out the mess that's in front of me as I'm, you know, in that really tight red zone area. You're inside the 10, you're not even inside the 20, you're inside the 10. So the area gets even smaller and smaller. And so I don't think Rodgers is focused in on strategy. And if he was, he probably would have waved off the attempt to go for the field goal. But that's not, you know, like you could tell he just, you know, he didn't get it in the moment. Like he was just so focused on the moment. So I'm not sure I blame Rodgers or the lack of telling Rodgers about that. I blame that firmly on LaFleur.
There is a conversation that was had yesterday about the officiating in terms of the pass interference. At the end of this game, that gives the Buccaneers the win, but they allowed a lot to go throughout the game. Mm-hmm. How, in terms of the argument of letting them play versus not letting them play, I think the overriding problem is the players don't really know. No referee tells them, hey, we're letting everything go today. So in that scenario, is that argument even legit? Like to say, well, they let it get away this way, they didn't at the end of the game. How do we compartmentalize the officiating of this game if it's inconsistent?
Look, you can argue the consistency and inconsistency, the interception at the end of the first half where there's a tug, right? I mean,
right.
And you know, want to let him play physically, all that kind of stuff. I get it, right? But at the end of the day, that's pass interference.
Exactly.
and so you know what you know, Kevin King knows what he's doing, all right? And he can't sit there and say, well, you didn't call it earlier, therefore you shouldn't call it now. Sorry, that's clearly pass interference. You're grabbing the guy, you're impeding his progress, and you're doing it in a very wide open way where the official's definitely going to get it. It's not like you did a little quick tug to you know, affect him by a quarter or a half step, and then you let go. You grabbed on and you held on, right? And that, and you went over the line on that one. And I'm sorry, I you know, all this discussion kind of just leaves me, you know, a little cold. Like, that's pass interference, and it called it. But I don't have a problem with the call.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about the defense for the Buccaneers and flip it over on that side. A lot of conversation about Brady, great accomplishment. Defensively, this Buccaneers team really played a good game.
Yeah, they did. I mean, again, you talk about the pass rush off the edges. They really they ate the left and the right tackle alive. I mean, even I think Shaq Barrett's maybe his second sack. I mean, he was even being held on the second sack, and he still finished off Rodgers. Yeah, the thing that surprised me is that this is what they did to him last time. Even when they had Bakhtiari playing left tackle, they did this to them the last time. So, like, Matt LaFleur, did you watch the first game? Did you watch the tape of what happened? Did you not think, hey, maybe we'll chip a little bit, or we'll do what the answer was pretty quickly, which is get Rodgers outside the pocket, off the platform, or make quick throws, right, to beat these guys and to change how they're playing defense. But they're teeing off on your tackles just to get upfield as much as possible, and they did. And they made it almost impossible for you to get a clean pocket on any kind of thing that resembled a five-step drop, and forget about seven-step drops, but anything that was a five-step drop where Rodgers was going to hold the ball for any length of time, or was, you know, in a gun formation, he's going to hold the ball for any length of time. That was nearly impossible for them. I mean, there was one play that he got the pass off and it was a completion, but he had about maybe a quarter second until Vita Vea was just going to destroy him.
Jason Cole joining us, NFL analyst on our Progressive Guest Line. So over in the AFC, and I don't like getting burned by predictions because I've seen teams play really well in the playoffs, and I think to myself, I'm going to see this team for years and years, and then I don't see them again because change happens and things go differently. But do you feel like the trajectory for the Bills is good, like they will be in these kind of games in the future?
Yeah, because I think they're very well coached. I do think that Josh Allen is continuing to make great progress. Now, there are moments that he still is highly inaccurate, and under pressure, he, you know, shrinks a little bit, right? But not, he made progress from a year ago, right? So as long as they're smart and they continue to surround him with talented receivers and get a better running back, improve the running game a little bit, I do think that this is a team to be reckoned with for the next 3 to 5 years. And then we'll see what kind of quarterback does Josh Allen become, because eventually he's going to slow down and not be able to run like he runs now.
Sure.
That happens with all quarterbacks, right? You know, whether it's him or Lamar Jackson or all these guys who run, they slow down. So is he going to transition to being more of a pocket quarterback who has more composure, who's taking the easy throws rather than trying to make the impossible or hard throws? He didn't do that yesterday. That hurt them a lot. They weren't be able to be consistent. He got a little bit desperate when they got behind by 12 points, or when they were behind by 15 points, right? You could feel the pressure mounting on him, and he responded poorly to it. But overall, I like the team. I like the direction. I like the sort of even-handedness of the combination of McDermott and Bean. So I do like where they're going. I do like this team. But they ain't Kansas City.
Yeah, no kidding. We were just discussing this earlier. You felt like you just mentioned about Allen. He was afraid to make the big mistake. He was afraid to make that big, you know, the big play that would really turn the game quickly. But the reality is Patrick Mahomes doesn't feel that way because any mistake, they just take 10 seconds and they can score again.
Well, I mean, here's the thing about this. If not for the Hardman fumble, this game's even more lopsided.
Absolutely.
Than we think, right? Like, this game really wasn't that close. And I'm not going to sit here and, like, say I'm the greatest prognosticator in the world, but I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday morning, early in the morning, and he was making the case for, oh, the Bills could maybe upset this, or I don't know who to pick because it's going to be really close. And I just said, look, Chiefs are going to win by 14. And I just said that off the top of my head. Now, I was absolutely right. And again, I'm not Nostradamus, and I'm not headed to Vegas. But they're just, the Chiefs are on a different level than the Bills. They're on a different level than everybody because of their talent. Like, they have the best quarterback in the game. And Grant, I'll grant you, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, but he's not the greatest quarterback today,
right,
in my view, right?
Great point.
Okay? And so Pat Mahomes is the greatest quarterback today. They have the best wide receiver in the league today. They have the best tight end in the league today by far. And they have the best coach, not named Belichick. You know, they have the best coach who's left in the playoffs, and they have that from the beginning of it. So you take that combination, and then enough players on defense and Spagnuolo's cleverness on defense, I mean, that's a really tough combination. I mean, the Bucs have their hands full. I'm not saying the Bucs can't win this game, but I would say if they played five times, the Bucs would be, you know, I think they might win one out of those five.
Jason Cole, again, author of Elway, A Relentless Life. Check it out. Great book, and also NFL analyst. Appreciate it, Jason. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Be good. Thanks.
You got it. Again, Jason Cole on a Progressive guest line. Progressive quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Yeah, it is kind of weird. I mean, look at Brady's 9 previous Super Bowls, right? He's got 6 wins, but think about the 3 losses, right, to the Eagles and the twice to the Giants. I mean, those games against the Giants were really close. The game against the Eagles was close. He has not been blown out in a Super Bowl, and I think that's why when we watched him play Atlanta in Super Bowl 51, it was like, oh, he's getting destroyed. Look, it's 28-3. It's good. This is a beatdown of beatdowns for the great Tom Brady in New England. And then they put on this great historic comeback and win the Super Bowl. He has not been blown away in a Super Bowl. He's not been blown out in a Super Bowl. He never had what Elway went through in his first 3 Super Bowls, where he got demolished. I mean, absolutely demolished. He didn't go through that. And he's been in 9 of them. But you would think that he would have one game, even as good as those Patriots teams were coached and prepared and everything that Belichick and that coaching staff would bring to a matchup, that a game would just get away from them, right? The odds are that one of them would just get away, but they won 6, lost 3 other ones that were close. This could be the one where Tampa Bay just doesn't have anything for the Chiefs, because I like the way he said that. Look, Brady's the greatest of all time, but he's not the best quarterback today. That's Patrick Mahomes. Everything that you want to put in the who has the better category fits into Kansas City. It doesn't always mean that team wins the game, but it certainly comes close. All right, we'll come back. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Every score change during Super Bowl 55, somebody wins $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. So earlier in the show, we said the last team to play a championship game in their own building was the 2019 Houston Astros, losing that World Series game to Washington. The Buccaneers will break that trend, playing in their own stadium for a Super Bowl championship. So, Ron, you went back and said, well, who are the last teams to win on their home court or field?
Yes.
So go ahead.
So in the NBA, you got to travel all the way back to 2017.
Wow, Golden State?
Golden State over the Cavs.
Wow.
That was at, what was it, Oracle?
Oracle Arena, yeah. Before they moved to San Francisco.
Yep. So that was the last time they, I mean, I guess technically you'd have to go back further because that's no longer their home court. But
that's right.
That was the last time they did it in front of their fans.
Right.
In NHL, you got to go back to 2015.
Oh, my goodness. That would be, let me think here, the Blackhawks?
Blackhawks over the Lightning.
Yeah.
That was the last time an NHL team won on their home ice.
My goodness, this is 6 years ago.
For Major League Baseball, 2013.
No way.
Yep.
No way.
It's when the Red Sox won it all at Fenway over the Cardinals.
You're talking like 8 years ago, the last time a Major League Baseball team won on their own field?
Yeah, I double-checked because I didn't think that was
That's
right.
That's amazing.
But when you go through it all, I mean, the last two, you know, obviously last year, Globe Life. Then before that, Washington won it at Minute Maid. Then the two previous years, the Astros and Red Sox both won at Dodger Stadium.
That's right. That's right. I remember that.
Then the Cubs.
And I remember the Giants winning at Kansas City.
Yep. But before, or the, I guess after that, was Cubs winning at
Cleveland.
At Progressive.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Kansas City winning at Mets, at Citi Field.
And the Super Bowl doesn't count because it's on a neutral site.
Yeah.
Except this year. That is wild. Except this year. The Buccaneers have a chance to win on their home field.
So, yeah,
that's incredible. 2013, that is mind-boggling. That's mind-boggling. You know what's even more mind-boggling? Jake Asman Show. It's going to be great. It's going to come up next. Sports Map Radio. We will see you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Continue along. I'm Tony D, Ron Culver. We'll see you tomorrow.